When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple, Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Check out Off the Floor. This is especially the time that you want to sign up. Give it a shot, $2.99 per month. Get the latest information from us first. Also, communicate with Heat fans all day long. Again, we've got tons of channels there. You get access to all of them for just the one fee. So check it out. Description has the link, both on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You know who's a member of Off the Floor? Our friend Lynette. Reach out to her at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800. InsuranceByLynette.com. Life insurance, car insurance, renter's insurance. She can handle all of it for you. Based in Lauderhill, Florida. Services the entire area. And, of course, is probably the biggest Heat fan we know. So check it out. 954-581-8800. InsuranceByLynette.com. Two N's and two T's. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing. Got a all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. Impact with trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. First thing, make sure you check out the last couple episodes, not just the draft coverage, but also I did an episode with Eternal about where the Heat stood after the draft. And then we, three of us here, and you'll hear who's going to be on this episode in a second, did an episode going up through the Heat's own free agents, Kevin Love, Haywood Highsmith, Caleb Martin, DeLon Wright, Thomas Bryant, and the rest. Now we're going to project forward. I got Greg Sylvander. You got Greg Sylvander on Twitter. Alex Toledo, you got Tropical Blanket on Twitter, and we're going to get into what the Heat have to offer, what they might be able to do, and why we think it might be quiet at the very beginning of this. Of course, as we're recording this, it's 2 o'clock on Sunday. Again, we just recorded the other one about 30 minutes ago, so we wanted to give you as much content as we possibly could and split it up, and then we'll have another episode tonight after free agency ends, so make sure that you check that out. Also, playback while free agency is starting, essentially, around 5:45, download the playback app, and you can catch up with the entire Five Reasons crew there. All right, Greg, let's start here. What do the Heat have to offer as free agency begins?
Essentially, this is where it gets tough. They have their taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about $5.2 million, somewhere around there. And then they have veteran minimum contracts. And that is by virtue of the fact that they have already built out their roster and their salaries are in excess of $175 million combined. And so at that point, you're essentially looking at just veteran minimum additions and then that exception. But they also need to avoid the second apron, which is going to be a really big point of contention when shopping in free agency this year. So It's a situation where they have exception money. Will they spend it? That's the big question. And then obviously there's a part of this, which we addressed on the prior episode about retaining your own free agents. And I think the primary guy that we'll zero in on there is Haywood Highsmith.
We talked a little bit about Haywood in the previous episode, but again, Greg, before we move on, and I'll let Alex jump in on some of this, what the Heat can do in free agency is somewhat determined by what they decide to do with Highsmith. Is that correct?
Yeah. It essentially, because they need to avoid the second apron, they're in a situation where they may not be able to use bird rights to sign Haywood Highsmith and also spend that exception on another additional player from another team. So they may need to be an either or, not a and kind of scenario for those two things. So that's kind of the issue. If Haywood Highsmith were to get an exorbitant offer from someone else, then maybe you do spend your exception money, because that would be the route to go. And you do have room under the second apron to do so. But if you want to keep Haywood Highsmith, it's likely going to be that the surrounding players after him are going to be veteran minimum players like Kevin Love, like some of the names we're going to mention on today's episode.
All right. So, Alex, real quick here before we kind of move on to these free agents that the Heat could look at. Do you see any scenario which is not worth re-signing Haywood because you want to keep as much flexibility for what may be out there?
Well, to me, it's just about the second apron, or at least that's what it seems like it's about for the Heat. So if I believe they're about $13 million or so under the second apron as it stands. Again, shout out to our guy, Brian Goins from Heat Beat, who's been documenting all this stuff and keeping us informed there. So check his stuff out. But according to, you know, the stuff that he was looking at, it was about $13 million under the second apron. And calculated that if the Heat bring back Cade Love on the deal that is expected, which would be, I think it was a $3.3 million, and then probably a player option on the second year is I think what people are expecting. If that's the case, then it's around $9 million below the second apron. So I think, you know, that's to be, you know, you got to think about that when you're signing Haywood Highsmith. If he fits under that, and you also have space to sign a couple more guys at the vet minimum. It also depends on how many guys they already have under contract, right? Because I feel like it's already getting close to 15 with, you know, the couple of guys they just got in the draft. So I think Haywood is worth bringing back, but at a certain amount, right? Like on the last episode, Leif had said, you know, they'll probably have, you know, a certain amount for DeLon, and I think it'll be a similar thing for Haywood here, right? I think just – you can't, whatever that amount is for them that they calculate, it's like, you can't go over this because we also need to be able to sign other guys. And, you know, you just do not want to go over the second apron. I get it. I just think, like, you know, a scenario where you lose Caleb and Haywood kind of sucks. If I'm being real, like, you could maybe get a couple of guys. Like, I'm looking at this list, you know, some of the names that stand out, I'm not going to get into right now, but, you know, could be good value adds, but that's assuming they take the minimum because that's what you have, right? If you don't sign Haywood using the, you know, the bird rights or whatever it is, like, you can use the taxpayer mid level on somebody else. So that's like where the alternate decision there, right? Like, if you, that's your backup plan. But I think Haywood is somebody where, you know, if you've already lost Caleb, I feel like losing him as well is just, it's a lot, because it's pretty much most of the guys that were doing point of attack defense for you and guys who were guarding wings for you. And I think, like, you've got something there in house with Josh, because I think Josh can help with that. But frankly, I think Haywood was just doing it at a higher level than both him and Caleb. Yeah. And I think DeLon was showing some of that as well. So maybe I think that's why we expect to see him back, because I think he can be had for the minimum. But yeah, there's a certain line I will go to with Haywood, despite, like, somebody like me who wanted to see both of those guys back, and Caleb and Haywood.
Well, I think we have to be honest with ourselves about minimums, and we're going to talk about the front end of free agency here first. And of course, trades play into this. And I feel like Heat fans, for good reason, are more interested in the trade prospect here, Greg. But I mean, you have to be honest in what you're going to get for a minimum. I mean, you get a Josh Richardson, you get a Thomas Bryant last year. Like, okay, you got, you know, some contribution from Josh before he got hurt. It was a little choppy at first till he found his way, particularly defensively, which was a bit of a surprise. And Thomas Bryant, okay, he was a part-time player that they really didn't want to play very much. much. You know, had a few moments, but again, that's what you get for minimums. You know, now Philadelphia got a lot more from Kelly Oubre, who's a player who the Heat considered last year or may have come if Dame had come. So you can find some. And DeLon Wright, you know, on a minimum, I think would be, you know, a really, really good deal. You know, so I think that we have to take a look at, you know, again, what is realistic here. But before we get to the trade market, we'll get to that on the second half of this episode. And I hope we have something to discuss about that in the coming days. Let's look at the free agent market in the NBA here, just so people kind of understand what it is. And I'll give you some. Of course, there have been some players who have already kind of been locked in. OG Anunoby with New York, $212 million. Pascal Siakam with Indiana, $189 million. Emmanuel Quickley, $175 million. Nick Claxton, $100 million. Patrick Williams, a player who really hasn't even really found his role so far in Chicago, though he's shown progress and he's young, $90 million. Malik Monk, $78 million. Royce O'Neal, $44 million. And then that's basically who's re-signed. And here's the free agent list now. LeBron James is the top. This is based on previous average salary. Okay. LeBron is first. I don't think he's leaving his son. Paul George, second. Somebody will discuss. Klay Thompson, right there, has been discussed as possible sign and trade candidate. Orlando has been talked about. Some other teams. Tobias Harris over me. James Harden, Gordon Hayward, who was kind of a bust with OKC last year. Kyle Lowry, I don't think they're bringing him back. DeMar DeRozan, they're working on an extension. It didn't come to pass. Buddy Hield, Evan Fournier, who hardly played the last couple of years. Gary Trent Jr. has a useful skill set. Markelle Fultz, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He's looking for big money, $25 million a year. Valanciunas, Malik Beasley, Tyus Jones, Luke Kennard. It starts to drop off here. Doug McDermott, Gary Harris, Robert Covington, Rashawn Holmes, Nick Batum.
Now we're shopping.
I mean, so looking at this list, I mean, the premium guys know, basically. I mean, they're not going to go sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for $25 million a year or more. DeRozan, we've discussed him a million times, but no. So, I mean, you really are talking about trying to find some bargains here, Greg, right? Like, this is down the line. And that's why I think you're saying we're not going to see much at first, right? The market has to kind of weed itself out.
Yeah, unless there's a situation like where Coach Spo gets on the phone with a player like he did with Josh Richardson, and that was an early agreement where a guy took a chance on a situation. You have to think that there could be other guys that would maybe look at Miami as an attractive destination that way, particularly if Haywood Highsmith and Caleb Martin were out. You could maybe convince a wing who typically would be getting a little bit more money, like to come and have a 1 year prove it season. I mean, a couple of the guys out there, people are not going to be so excited about these names, but you know, could you convince Robert Covington to do that for 1 year? Could you look at Torian Prince, a player like Sadiq Bey?
I was going to mention Sadiq Bey. Like that, like to me, the Torian Prince thing does not excite me in any way, but like Sadiq Bey is someone they've looked at before. I just don't know that he's a minimum guy. Like you said, you'd have to convince him. I mean, there's some old friends here, like a Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
Markieff Morris. I don't think there's going to be a reprisal of that. Justin Holiday, Cody Zeller. Marcus. Again, there's not going to be a reprisal of that. Marcus Morris has been rumored to the Heat many times. Oubre is a free agent again. You ain't getting him for the minimum this time around. Josh Okogie. It's another name that's been mentioned. I mean, Dennis Smith Jr. is a player who's been linked to the Heat, had interest in coming last year, probably would have come if Dame had come. Like, that would be interesting. Could you get Lonnie Walker for the minimum? I doubt it, right? But Aaron Holiday. Again, these are not franchise changers, but it's just like, can you find somebody who can be a back end of the rotation player? Xavier Tillman didn't really seem to work out in Boston, right? I mean, even Spencer Dinwiddie. You know, coming off of, you know, really a nondescript performance after his trade to LA. Like, these are some of the names we're talking about. I don't want to say it's bargain basement. I mean, these are guys who could help. Like, Sadiq Bey could help. He has skill sets that could help. They've looked at him before. I know that. I again, this is about tempering expectations here. Like, Haywood Highsmith may be the best fit. for the money for, you know, what they actually have to spend right now. I just think that's the reality of it. We'll get to the rest of this list here in a second, but I think we want to pivot on the other side of this to why the trade market is really where this is probably at for the Heat. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. It's kind of like trading stocks, actually. They got a market. You can find the line that you want. Go to betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. Don't pay the VIG. We know that there's another sports book. It's legal in the state of Florida. They've paid, all, you know, I don't want to say it, but they figured out a way to get a monopoly on a lot of this stuff. But what they also have a monopoly on in terms of compared to Better Edge is they charge you a VIG, which means that you're basically paying 3 or 4% more than you should to make a bet. So don't do that. Go to betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. Again, it's the code 5RSN. You get $20 to play right away and also join all of our contests. Again, it's betteredge.com. The code is 5RSN.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
As you look at that list, Alex, if they want to get better significantly, they need to make a trade, right?
It's been the case for a long time now. You're 100% right that they're a trade team. You know, it's just kind of, it is what it is. It's that type of situation. You know, as Leif mentioned before, they built up their team. Like, they have their big contracts. They have, you know, different guys on rookie scale deals now. But they've got multiple guys like in with double digit deals, and some of them obviously bigger than others, like Jimmy and Bam. All that what I'm trying to say is they don't have much to improve the roster. Like, they've got the veteran minimums, they've got this taxpayer mid level, and I think, you know, that's kind of the whole point of this episode, right? Like, we're trying to give perspective as to the types of options that may or may not be out there, and I think that's just kind of where they're at. Like, if they don't make a bigger trade, like the one that everybody wants for another star player, then, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we have to talk about. And honestly, I don't even hate it. Like, I like getting into the weeds with this stuff and looking into, like, hey, maybe we can get Nick Batum to take a vet minimum and play. Like, guess what? I think Batum could help, especially if you're losing one or two of those wings. Like, I wouldn't mind. Like, I think those type of guys help as well. And they're not going to change the course of this team or this build. But, like, it's always going to be a part of it. So, like, I think, like I said, a Batum or maybe even a Covington, if you can get one of those guys to take a minimum, I think could maybe be worth it. You know, Leif had mentioned Josh Okogie on Discord, which, of course, you guys should check out in the link. I mean, excuse me, the link is in the description of every podcast episode. But, like, that's another guy, right, who would kind of fit right in as far as, like, the type of wing you're losing. Somebody who is a questionable shooter, but who is physical, who plays kind of above his size, can defend. Like, Okogie really feels like a pretty seamless replacement if they lose both of those guys or even just one. So I think, like, those are, like, realistic names who – and that guy is still pretty young, by the way. Like, not extremely young, but you're not getting somebody who is, like, 36 years old or something in Josh Okogie. So that one kind of sparked my interest a bit. Marcus Morris, like, would any of us be surprised if Marcus Morris finally signed with the Heat? Like, I think he could take the vet minimum. I think that was a little more realistic. You know, I mentioned Javonte Green last summer. He's a free agent. You know, he's had some productive years for the Bulls. And, you know, you mentioned the guards, right? You mentioned Lonnie and Dennis Smith Jr. I think Pat Bev is a free agent as well. I don't know how much space there is in the guard room, so I'm not quite as interested there as I am in the wings, because it seems like there's going to be more space there. And you mentioned Sadiq Bey. I don't know if he'll be available at the vet minimum. Other than that, the only two names that kind of popped out to me were, like, if something happens with Kevin Love and he's not returning, and it's like a plot twist, right? I think the guys who you could kind of look to replace him would be maybe like a Mike Muscala. I know there's like a weird history there with his dad or something and Jimmy. So before everybody throws that at me, but just basketball wise, I think Muscala kind of fits that skill set. And so does a Dario Saric, who's just a little small for a five, but too slow for a four. But yeah,
like, they've looked at who they've looked at before. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. Let me ask this one too. A lot of times they prefer, and they told me this last year when we were looking at a lot of these names, right? They would prefer to use one of their own developmental guys than necessarily progress stop with a vet who has limited upside and isn't like hasn't been raised in the quote unquote culture. Like when we were talking about the whole list, I kept hearing that we keep looking at the list. It's the same damn list. It's, you know, there's nothing else that's going to pop up there. And so I'll just ask this: with the guys that they have in house now they've added two draft picks, some interesting undrafted free agents, Kashad being one of them, but there's others on the list that are kind of interesting that may be in camp or summer league. Alondis Williams and Cole Swider. And we, by the way, if you've been watching us, listening to us, we've basically telegraphed this, that those were the two guys that they seem to have the most interest in developing, that the Kane thing appears to have run its course. He's not going to be playing in summer league. We don't know what's going to happen with Orlando Robinson, but that may have run its course also. So it feels more like, Greg, it feels like Alondis Williams and Cole Swider. Would you bring in a guy to progress stop in a lot? I mean, does Alondis Williams have enough upside from what we saw? I mean, he kind of exploded in the summer league. In the G League last year. They did put him on the, they did give him the two way. They clearly have some commitment to him and to Swider. So, I mean, does that influence at all what you do here?
I think they still, excuse me. I think they still look at some veterans. I mean, Thomas Bryant found his way onto the roster last offseason, and there's guys that, you know, like were in the pipeline that you would expect Orlando Robinson maybe to take those minutes, and they, you know, doubled up with another big man. I think that they're still going to have to look at veterans to fill out the roster. It's the right type of veterans that they think will fit the system, also understand their role, not come in for more than what they bargained for. So I think that there is probably some functionality to looking outside for at least one, maybe two players. But then to your point, it's really going back to the well of your developmental guys and reinforcing that and empowering them to get better, to take on more. And that's just kind of the situation that you're in, because you're the top of your roster is set until you make a trade. I mean, we talked about that being the next part of this, and you got to have a willing partner, and you also want to be in a situation where you feel like you're getting value for what you're trading out. And so those are just a lot of things that have to go right. And that's why we keep veering back to this kind of vet minimum conversation in terms of additions.
All right, so Alice, let's close it out here. As we look at the sort of the limited options that they have in free agency and the limited vehicles they have to use on said options, and in the context of the Jimmy Butler cloud, which we discussed a lot on the last couple of episodes, are you more inclined, and what they added in the draft, are you more inclined to say, if you can get a star, get the damn star, because otherwise there's just no way to compete in any serious way with what you have?
Yeah. You know, I hate to make it that simple, but yeah, like, I mean, I guess like the only thing I could pick out from what you said was like, yeah, they'll compete, you know, they'll compete. They'll be competitive. They just won't be dominant. They won't be a clear cut contender. They'll be called, you know, a dangerous loomer or whatever it was that they called them this year that I can't quite remember right now. Like, you're going to keep getting thrown into those, I mean, into the, like, the categories with those other teams, because guess what? You've been a playing team, you know, the last couple of years, and you lost the first playing game too. It's not like you're just getting out of there real quick and easy. Like, you've almost been eliminated from the playoffs before they started for two straight years, you know, despite, again, an amazing, like a pretty damn great just era in general with the Jimmy stuff. Like, it's completely blown expectations out of the water, right? But that's the team that you are now. So yeah, I think like it is all about that. And I you know, you can have conversations about which one of these stars that are out there would be worth it, which ones wouldn't be. Like, you know, I've kind of sold myself on a guy like Trae Young. I think I could sell myself on a guy like Brandon Ingram. Like, I think, you know, if you can get into those conversations for a reasonable price where you're not, you know, doing the, you know, what the Knicks did for Mikal Bridges, right? If it's closer to like what the Pelicans did for DeJounte Murray, I think that type of move is worth it for the Heat. I don't think you trade four unprotected first plus another protected first plus another pick swap or whatever that package was for you know, a decent player. Like, I think if it's a reasonable price, you know, a pick or two for a star like that, you know, and if you could keep your younger players, like Eternal mentioned on yesterday's pod, like, I think that is a worthwhile outcome. Now, who knows if that's available, right? Like, these teams might be asking for more than that. And I think that's always like what's to monitor with the Heat is like they want it at their price. And, but, you know, some of these guys are out there. So, you know, if the Heat can get in on these conversations, I think it's worth looking into for sure. But Greg, as of right now, isn't everything just kind of on hold for Donovan?
I mean, that's the thing. And look, that's a good place to take this as we close, Greg, because, you know, the thing last year was, you know, Heat fans who all wanted them to wait on Dame and then were upset that they waited on Dame and didn't make a move for like a Porzingis or some other kind of move that would have upgraded the roster. I feel like we're right back where we were, right? You're waiting on the star who could be franchise changing. You've got a party on the other side that is more trustworthy this time, that you can actually can work with Cleveland, I believe, on a trade if that was Donovan's preference, and you could give something of value or create a multi-team trade that gives them something of value. So that's a little better, but ultimately, you know, nothing's resolved with Donovan yet. And that just, it just feels like you're in this holding pattern. And then it's going to be this like daily drip of players that sign elsewhere. And you're going to have the same three people on Twitter. Please join the Discord, everybody, because it's a little more sane. But you're going to have the same three people on Twitter who are lamenting the loss of a guy who shot, whatever, 39% last year and averaged 7 points a game and has played in four playoff games simply because the Heat didn't get him, because the Heat, of course, have 100 roster spots. That's where this is sort of headed. And then ultimately you don't get Donovan, and then it's like, okay, now we're scraping for minimums and talking about internal development. Like I feel like we're in a weird timeline here, and it's a repeat timeline.
Wasn't there a report today though my bad, Leif, but wasn't there a report today that like, there was supposed to be like, there's expectation that he might sign today?
Well, he might say by the time we post this episode, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean,
one of those aggregator accounts put that out, but we don't know if that's true. It's prudent to wait for Donovan Mitchell right now for the Heat and see if that's possible, but they probably have more intel on that than we do. And I would expect them to have more than one plan, or else fans should be a little upset that there isn't a pivot, you know, to this, because we're talking about, you know, whatever year it is of this build, I think it's time to shake it up. I think that's how the fan base feels. I feel like even probably their own locker room to some degree feels that way, that a shakeup should be necessary. So, you wait for Donovan, but you should have other plans so that you can kind of get a little some new blood. That's what I think that this roster needs. And that may include trading a Tyler Hero or a Duncan Robinson to get that done.
Well, and new blood, again, it's got to be in certain degree the right blood. And I'm looking at this report from Bobby Marks today that there's no market for Zach LaVine. They're trying to give him away and attach a first-round pick. I've been told that by multiple people. There are some players that I've been out on that I could be talked back into if it helps your asset, you know, if it helps your asset pool and potentially adds a useful player. Although, God, I hate that contract. So it's just, it's, you know, everything has a poison pill right now. That's the thing. It's either you're going to give up crazy amount of draft picks. I mean, when Mikal Bridges, who's a good player, but not an all-star, I mean, all-star, but he's not a superstar, is going for that. I know that the market's effed, basically. And I know people are going to say we're making excuses for the front office. They should have more picks. We can break down every particular move that put them in a particular position. But like I said, if you're going to take a player with a bad contract when your salary structure is already kind of messed up right now, and you better get something back that allows you to do something else. That's the way that I look at it. And I think that's the way that they would likely look at it too. All right. We want to get out of here because I want to give everybody a chance to listen to this episode before free agency starts. Playback, download the app, playback.tv/5RSN, or just go to the Playback app, look for the Five Reasons Room. We'll be on there at 6 o'clock. We'll have a rotating crew of people. We'll have a post. We'll have a wrap up podcast. I'll also be on WSVN channel 7 in Miami tonight to wrap everything up. And obviously anything that happens in the next few days, will be all over it on the Discord. Subscribe to Off the Floor, everybody. I know you like our free content. We appreciate all of you, anybody who listens, but that helps keep us in business and we give you a lot more there. So check it out. Find the link right here in the description. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.